Woodbury Cold Cream.
Lovely to look at, delightful to know, and heaven to kiss.
The makers of Woodbury Cold Cream, the beauty cream for the skin you love to touch, present The Adventures of Mr. and Mrs. North. Pam and Jerry knew Albie Baker couldn't have committed the murder. But there was all that evidence against him. And as his own lawyer said to the Norths one night in their apartment,
I don't like it. I'm his lawyer, and his story doesn't even sound good to me.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, but you must believe him. Albie'd never kill anyone, never.
What makes you so sure?
Why, Jerry and I have known him for years.
Well, I'm afraid that wouldn't convince a jury, Pamela.
Pam's right, though. Albie's no killer.
All you have to do is look at him, Mr. Hansen. He has one of the kindest faces I've ever seen. Oh, if only there was some way of finding that letter.
Yes, if. The letter is the only piece of evidence to support Baker's story. And nobody has ever seen it except Baker himself.
Al said he showed it to Krug.
But Krug denies it.
He's lying.
Well, it's Baker's word against Krug's. And with all the other evidence against Baker, I'm afraid the jury will believe Krug.
All right, Mr. Baker. Just tell the court your story the way you told it to me. Now, you've told us that Private Detective Anderson questioned you about the stolen goods in your store.
Yes, sir. He asked me where I got the merchandise, and I said from Mr. Warren. But I didn't know where Warren got it.
What did the detective say to that?
He said he'd investigate Warren.
And then what happened?
Well, about a week later, I got a letter from Detective Anderson. He said he thought he had the goods on Warren and asked me to invite Warren to my apartment. I was to introduce Anderson to Warren as a friend of mine. Well, then...
So, Mr. Baker, Detective Anderson wrote you a letter telling you that he wanted to meet Warren in your apartment, did he?
Yes, sir.
Where is that letter?
I don't know.
You don't know? I see. Did anyone besides yourself ever see that letter?
Yes. Yes, I showed it to Wilbur Krug.
Why?
Well, I wanted his advice. After Anderson was murdered in my apartment, I was in a jam. I thought Wilbur would help me. I showed him the letter and asked him what I should do.
What did he do with it?
I don't know. He must have destroyed it.
Did you see him destroy it?
No, sir.
You didn't see what he did with it?
No, sir, I did not.
Well, wasn't that a rather strange thing to do? To give someone such a vital piece of evidence and then not even notice what he did with it?
I was upset and confused. I hardly knew what was happening. Besides, I thought he was my friend. I didn't think there was anything...
Mr. Krug, did the defendant ever show you a letter to him from Frank Anderson stating that Anderson was to meet Warren in the defendant's apartment?
No, he did not.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this case is very simple. Stolen merchandise was found in the store of the defendant. This is a fact. A man investigating the stolen goods was murdered in the defendant's apartment. This is a fact. Against these facts, we have only the defendant's word and the letter he claims the dead man Anderson wrote him. Very well. Where is that letter? Did anyone but the defendant ever see that letter?
No.
And why? For the very simple reason that there is no such letter. There never was such a letter. Frank Anderson didn't go to Baker's apartment to see Warren. He went there to see Baker. And it was Baker who killed him.
Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We find the defendant guilty as charged.
Jerry, I'm just sick. Think of it. Albie Baker convicted of murder.
Yeah.
Such a nice little fellow. If only there was something we could do. Oh, darling, I don't feel like seeing anyone.
Well, I'll go send whoever it is away.
Ah, Mr. North.
Oh, hello, Mr. Krug.
May I come in? I have something to tell you.
You mean you're ready to tell the truth about that letter?
More. I'm ready to produce it.
What?
Yes. Oh, don't think I've enjoyed playing the part I did. I despise myself. But I'm really a very weak character, and in my own way, I have to look out for myself. Every man for himself in this dog-eat-dog world, I always say.
Skunk would be more like it. But come on in if you really have something to offer.
Oh, thank you. Don't be too harsh in judging me. I'm prepared to undo the wrong I've done.
Good.
But for a price. Ah, Mrs. North, as lovely as ever, I see.
Darling, this worm has decided to take a turn for the better. He's going to let us have the letter.
Oh, good.
But as I mentioned before, for a price.
All right. What price?
Well, it depends.
On what?
On Cupid Warren.
What's he got to do with it?
Well, the letter, while clearing Albie, would convict Warren. Under the circumstances, he'd be willing to bid on the letter, too.
Do you mean you're going to give that horrible thug a chance to buy that letter? To practically buy Albie's life?
You know we can't match dollars with that gangster. He's big time, and I don't have that kind of money. As for Al, the poor fellow sank his last cent on the trial.
You have friends.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Mr. Krug, Oh, there are no words for you.
Well, after all, Mrs. North, I do have to eat, you know.
Why?
Me. Everyone hates me. Well, it's to be expected. But do unto others and you wind up on the breadline, I always say. I'd much rather be comfortable and well-fed than popular. So, let's get down to business. Now, tomorrow you come to the address I'll give you. Naturally, you won't mention this to the police till the deal's off. I'll see to it that you're not followed. You'll go up one flight of stairs, knock on the door 3 times, and if everything is ready... Ah, Mr. and Mrs. North, I've been waiting. Come in. Mr. and Mrs. North, allow me to present Mr. Cupid Warren.
How are you?
Why are you locking the door?
So we won't be disturbed. Well, now let's get started, shall we? Come over to the table and sit down.
All right.
All right, Bright Eyes, where's that letter?
In time, Mr. Warren, in time.
I ain't got time, and I ain't bidding till I see what I'm bidding on.
Very well. Just a moment, and I'll get it.
North, if you and your missus are smart, you're going to keep your mouth shut when I start bidding.
Unfortunately, we're not very smart.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you. If you wake up in the morgue some morning, you'll know why.
All right, folks, here we are. The one and only genuine Frank Anderson letter to Albie Baker.
Let's see that.
Mr. Warren, mustn't touch.
Give me that letter.
Oh, a gun?
Yeah. Now hand over that letter.
Oh, thank you, Mr. North. You hit him with that chair just in time. And now I have the gun. I was very foolish. I should have seen to it that he was disarmed before he came in here.
Get up, Cupid. You're all right.
Oh, I'll get you for this, North.
Well, folks, shall we start the bidding?
Yes, let's get it over with.
Very well. What am I bid for this 100% foolproof perfect alibi for Albie Baker?
I'll give you a grand.
I beg your pardon.
You heard me.
A grand, he says. $1,000. Don't you realize your life hangs on this piece of paper, Mr. Warren? Is that all your life is worth to you, a measly $1,000?
His life isn't worth a measly 20 cents. I'll bid $2,000.
But, Mr. North, Albie Baker's life also depends on this paper. Is $2,000 all you bid for your very dear friend?
He was supposed to be your very dear friend, too, remember?
Come now, let's stop this fooling around. I want a real bid.
$5,000. And if you open your mouth, North, I'll push your face so far back through your head every time you want to blow your nose, you'll have to turn around.
$10,000.
All right, wise guy, you'll get yours.
$10,000, I'm bid. $10,000. Do I hear $15,000? Come, gentlemen, what are we waiting for?
$15,000.
$20,000.
Why, you?
Well, now, this is more like it. $20,000 is bid. Do I hear $30,000? $30,000. Do I hear $30,000?
Jerry, where are we going to get $20,000?
I don't know.
$25,000.
$30,000.
Mister, you're just asking for trouble and don't think you won't get it. Now, I'll give you just one more chance. $40,000, Krug, and that's positively, absolutely my last bid. And North,
If you and the little lady don't want to go swimming in the river with your feet in a bucket of cement...
Ignore him, Mr. North. I have 40,000. Will anyone make it 50? 50, do I hear 50? 40,000, then. It's going at 40,000. Going once?
Jerry, we can't let him get away with it.
No, darling.
Going twice?
Okay, Krug. I'll make it 50.
All right, brother, if that's the way you want to play.
50,000, do I hear 60?
You don't hear nothing. Let him take it.
Okay. Sold to Mr. North for $50,000.
How long can I have to raise the money?
You don't have it with you?
Huh. Don't be funny.
Well, how about tomorrow noon?
Well, that's pretty fast.
I'm in a hurry. I want to get this over with.
Well, I'll do what I can.
All right. I'll call you tomorrow and make arrangements.
You better make arrangements for his funeral.
Gollies, Jerry, how'll we ever get that money? We're not millionaires.
We're not even 50,000-aires.
Well, we'd better be before noon tomorrow if we want to get that letter. I wonder if it really is the letter.
That's word for word what Albie told me was in the letter.
We've just got to get that money. Can we, Jerry?
I doubt it.
But you bid.
For time, darling.
There must be some way we can... Jerry, look out, that car.
Quick, Pam, come here.
Oh, Jerry, you pulled me into this doorway just in time.
Yeah, it seems Cupid's losing no time keeping his promise.
Jerry, car's stopping in the next block. It's turning around.
Oh, come on, I don't feel like playing target for that thug with a machine gun anymore.
Where are we going?
There's a taxi across the street. Oh, here we are. Quick, get in. Driver, start going. I don't care where, only make it fast.
Jerry, they're coming.
Hurry, driver.
Oh, golly.
They're still coming. Driver, turn again at the next corner. See if you can get away from that car that's following us. Good.
Oh.
Now, if you can shake them, you can name your own tip. But if you can't...
Oh, let's not even think about that, Jerry. After all, I don't have a thing to wear to my funeral. Oh, I hope I never have to go through anything like that again.
No, it was a pretty bad 10 minutes, wasn't it? If our driver hadn't cut through that alley, we never would have shaken them.
Well, what do we do now, Jerry? We can't stay cooped up in this hotel room. Got to find some way to raise that money. Let's see. Do we know anybody with $50,000 to spare?
Do we know anybody with $50,000?
No. Oh, there must be some way to get our hands on some money. Either beg, borrow, or steal it. Of course, Jerry. Steal it.
Oh, now, Pamela, if you think I'm going to rob a bank...
Oh, no, no, Jerry. Not money. The letter.
What?
Why don't we steal the letter?
Oh.
Well, we could just... I don't know. But it does seem like a good idea.
We don't even know where he keeps it.
It was in the back room.
Yes, but you can be sure it's well concealed. He probably expects us to try just what you're suggesting.
Well, I know how we can find out where he keeps it, Jerry. You see, when he thinks the house is on fire, he'll go right to the farm.
Wait a minute. Why should he think the house is on fire?
Because of the smoke, silly.
What smoke?
From the bomb.
Bomb, smoke? What the dickens are you talking about?
A scandal in Bohemia.
Oh, what?
Don't you ever read, Jerry? Nice book publisher. A Scandal in Bohemia is a story by Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
You know, when Holmes wanted to find out where something was hidden, he had Watson set off a smoke bomb so that the woman who had hidden it would go and get it, and then he could get it. Only he couldn't because she was very clever and, well...
That's all right, darling. I remember the story now.
Well, how about it then, Jerry?
Well...
We can go see Mr. Krug to ask for more time or something, and then we can set off a smoke bomb, and he'll think the house is on fire, and he'll run to get the money.
All right, sweetheart, all right. You win. Let's go see what happens when smoke gets in his eyes. Now, you know just what to do, don't you, Ben?
Yes.
Good. Just watch for my signal.
Uh-huh.
Here's Krug's apartment. We've got to be ready to work fast.
Gollies, I hope it goes all right.
Cupid!
Oh!
Yeah. You didn't expect to find me here, did you? But I thought me and the boys ought to drop over and pay Krug a visit. And now you come to the party, too. Well, that's swell. That's just swell. Come in.
Well, I think we'd better... we were just leaving.
I said come in. That's right. Look, boys, we got company. Okay, Butch, lock the door.
Now, a brief intermission with a wartime beauty rule for the ladies.
These war days, we can't have all we'd like in the way of... Remember, good grooming can do more than fine clothes to make you lovely to look at. And there's a wonderful way to help your skin keep immaculately well-groomed. A way so quick and easy that it might have been made just for these busy days. You see, there's one cream that, all alone, does everything for skin beauty. It gives your skin complete beauty care, for it's a complete beauty cream. It's Woodbury Cold Cream. Just try it tonight and see. Dip into a jar of silky soft Woodbury Cold Cream and cover your face with it well. The rich cleansing oils loosen dirt and old makeup. So wipe off the soiled cream. Your skin will simply glow. It's so fresh, so clean. Now pat on more Woodbury and leave some on your skin overnight. That's all. You've given yourself the famous Woodbury Beauty Nightcap. It takes just 3 minutes, and tomorrow, when you see your clearer, smoother, more radiant complexion, you'll want to do that every night. Use Woodbury to cleanse your skin in the daytime, too. Your makeup will go on with a porcelain-perfect finish. 4 special softening and smoothing ingredients make Woodbury Cold Cream so beautifying. Another ingredient makes Woodbury exceptionally safe, for it works constantly purifying the cream in the jar in case blemish-causing germs get in. No other cream gives you this added protection. Try this complete beauty cream. Get Woodbury Cold Cream tonight.
And now back to Mr. and Mrs. North. In their attempt to get the letter that will clear Albie Baker, the Norths have gone to Krug's apartment, only to be greeted there by QB Warren.
You know, Mr. and Mrs. North, you just don't seem never to learn.
Should I give them a once-over lightly, boss, just so they get the idea you ain't fooling?
Not yet, Butch. You're not through with Krug.
Leave me alone, won't you?
Sure. As soon as you tell us where you got that letter.
I'll never tell you.
Okay, Butch.
Right, boss. Now, Krug, this is going to hurt you more than it does me.
No, don't, brute.
That was nothing, Mrs. North. Butch is just getting warmed up.
You going to talk, mister? Okay, how do you like this?
No, and no, stop it. Stop it. I'll tell you. I'll show you where the letter is.
Okay, Krug, where is it?
I'll get it. It's behind this picture. There's a panel.
Jerry, he's getting the letter. What do we do?
Let's set off the smoke bomb. Maybe in the excitement we can
get it. Of course, Jerry.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll take that and come on, hand it over. Come on.
Okay.
Jerry, we're licked.
Looks like it.
All right. Here's the letter.
Good. Bring it here, Butch.
Here you are, boss.
Oh. Huh. So I was supposed to top 50 grand for this, hey, Krug? Now I'll just take this cigarette lighter... And I like this corner of the letter. And there goes the last piece of evidence against QP Warren up in smoke.
There it goes, Jerry.
Yeah.
$50,000.
Albie's chance for freedom.
Well, that's that.
We failed, Jerry.
Yeah, we certainly did.
Is there any chance of doing anything for Albie now?
I'm afraid not. We can only hope. I'll go, dear.
Ah, hello there, North, old man.
Do you always have to be so blamed cheerful?
Ah, but I have good news for you.
Yeah? What?
I'm a liar, a frightful liar.
Is that good?
But of course. May I come in?
Okay. Well, darling, Krug crawled out from under his rock again. He says he has some good news for us.
Hello, hello, Mrs. Norris.
Hello.
My friends, do you still wish to purchase that letter?
What do you mean?
It would have been foolish of me to show the real letter, wouldn't it? When I was dealing with a man like Q.P. Warren who might pull a gun at any moment. Yes, it would have been insanely foolish. And, Mr. and Mrs. North, I am not foolish. Weak? Yes. Selfish? Yes. But,
Do you mean that letter Krug burned was not the original?
Exactly, Mr. North. It was a copy.
And the original?
Is carefully put away where it shall remain until the money is made ready to change hands.
Oh, thank heavens. Jerry, there's still a chance.
Yes. Well, now, sir, do we do business or don't we?
We do.
Good.
But on different terms.
I beg your pardon.
You were able to force a high bid from Jerry before by the pressure of Cupie's bidding. But since you can't deal with Cupie anymore...
Why can't I deal with him?
Because you tricked him. So he'd never trust you again. He'd never know whether you were holding back a photographic copy or something, and the letter doesn't do him any good unless he's sure that he's destroyed every last copy of it.
That's right, Krug.
So it is. So it is. Distressing fact.
But we'll do business with you because we only have to worry about one copy, the original. But we'll have to make sure it is the original, and we won't pay you anything like $50,000.
What will you pay?
Oh, perhaps $1,000.
My dear man, you're joking. It wouldn't be worthwhile to bother.
You seem to forget, Mr. Krug, that if we don't buy that letter, it's worthless. You might just as well take what we offer. It's all clear profit.
And you seem to forget that if I don't take your offer, Albie Baker goes to the electric chair. I can sit tight and wait. I think you'll come across.
Oh, you're despicable.
I certainly am.
I hate you.
I hate myself.
You seem cheerful enough about it.
That, sir, is because I dislike myself so thoroughly, I enjoy hating me.
Oh.
The trouble with me is I should have been a poet instead of a blackmailer. I have the heart of a poet, the feelings of a poet, the soul of a poet.
Well, then why aren't you a poet?
Simple. My poetry stinks. And tell you what, North, let's settle this matter. $10,000. Take it or leave it.
Okay. It's a deal.
Jerry, do we just stand here on the corner until he shows up?
Uh-huh. Now that he's ready to show the original letter, he's being extra cautious. He's not telling us any address. Afraid we might send the police there.
I only hope this time it is the original.
Well, I got some samples of Anderson's handwriting. We'll compare them with the letter. I'm not giving up $10,000 for any phony. I have too much trouble raising it.
How will we ever pay it back, Jerry?
It won't be easy.
15, 7... A dollar, five. Make it a dollar. That's easier. How many weeks are there in a year, Jerry?
52. Why?
I'm trying to figure out how much we could save if you give up smoking. Oh, I'm afraid it's not very much. It's too bad I don't smoke. Then I could give it up, too, and we'd save twice as much.
Oh, we'll manage somehow, Pam. But it won't be easy.
You know, Jerry, people shouldn't be allowed to blackmail anyone except very rich people.
I think that's Krug coming now.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. North. Get in, please.
Okay. Go ahead, Pam.
All right.
There we are. Now we'll just drive around for a while.
Oh, the OPA is not going to like that.
I have to make sure we're not being followed. Better to be cautious than sorry, I always say. And I'm satisfied no one is following. I'll take you to a room I've rented just for this little meeting. Well, Mr. North, are you satisfied that that is the real letter?
Yeah, it seems to be.
Good. Then, if you'll pay me, we can conclude our little negotiation.
Here you are.
Thank you, thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Mm-hmm. Yes, seems to be correct. Well, that's that then. I'll run along now, but just one more thing. You want to wait here for 5 minutes before leaving.
All right.
Well, goodbye, and please believe me when I tell you I'm heartily ashamed of myself. Goodbye.
Well, we've got it at last, Jerry.
Yep.
Oh, I can hardly wait to tell Albie. Do they have telephones at Sing Sing?
Well, not private ones.
It'll be a wonderful surprise for him.
Miss Cupie Warren's in for a surprise, too.
Yes. Oh, how I'd like to see his face when he finds out that what he burned was only a copy and that we have the original.
Would you, sister?
Oh.
Well, take a good look.
Cupid.
Yeah, and this time I'm finishing the job. I've had trouble with you two for the last time.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? Nobody plays me for a sucker and gets away with it.
Oh, but it was Mr. Cruz.
I'll take care of him later. Right now I got business with you. I'll fix you so I don't have no more trouble with you.
Oh, wait a minute. Can't we...
No, I won't wait. I'm finishing you now, mister. Oh.
What happened, Jerry?
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Knoll.
Krug, I never thought I'd be glad to see you.
I saw Cupid coming down the hall, so I hid, and then I followed him back here.
You saved our lives.
Oh, I had to. I've entered this room, you see. If you were found dead in it, I'd be suspected, so I couldn't let him kill you. Not here.
How did he know we were here?
Well, I don't know. He must have had someone spying. How is he? Did I... Why doesn't he move? Oh, dear. I'm afraid I've killed him.
Looks like it.
I only meant to wound him. Oh, dear. Now his body will be found. I'm no better off than if he killed you.
Somehow I like it better this way.
But look, I was only trying to protect you. That's true, isn't it?
Yes.
You'll say that, won't you? You're the only witnesses you know. You'll testify that he was trying to kill you, won't you? If you don't, they might make a first-degree case out of it. Please, don't let me down. After all, I saved your life.
Yes, you did.
So you will tell them what happened, won't you?
Sure, we will. Don't worry.
Thank you.
However, it's going to cost you just $10,000.
What?
Yes, otherwise we might have a sudden lapse of memory. Isn't that right, Pam?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, how about it?
Okay. You win. Here you are.
Good. Thanks.
Me. Oh, that's life. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, I always say. However, it is rather annoying to have ventured so far and still gained nothing. Well, it's no more than I deserve, I dare say.
It's a lot less than you deserve. You ought to be in jail. However, let well enough alone, I always say.
What's that?
Cupid.
What? But you said...
No, I didn't. You did.
Oh.
Your shot missed him completely, but it startled him just enough to give me a chance to clip him. He was standing between you and me, so you couldn't see it. No. Your gun won't help you. I have Cupid's gun now, and I'm ready to use it. Better put yours on the table. Go on.
All right. Me. Seems I've played every card wrong, haven't I? Well, I suppose there's nothing left for me to do but go back to my portrait.
Well, Jerry, we have the letter and it didn't cost us a thing. And we've caught Cupid. Everything's turned out for the best after all, hasn't it?
Not quite.
What do you mean, darling?
Think what we've done to love as a portrait.
One of the busiest bond sellers among the film stars is Dorothy L'Amour. And she's one of Hollywood's busiest filmmakers, too. You'll be seeing her soon in the new Paramount Technicolor picture, Riding High. Now, in spite of all that Dorothy L'Amour is doing, that luscious complexion of hers stays as fresh and clear as ever. For you see, Dorothy L'Amour is mighty smart. She's got her complexion care down to a matter of just a few minutes. And here's what she told us about it.
My every night skincare is the Woodbury Beauty Nightcap. I've never found anything else so helpful. It's all done with Woodbury Cold Cream in just 3 minutes.
And many more among Hollywood's loveliest stars have this same beauty care. Try it, girls. Woodbury Cold Cream gives such remarkable results because it's a complete beauty cream. Besides cleansing, it softens and smooths beautifully and does still more. Jars 10 cents to $1.25. That's Woodbury, W-O-O-D-B-U-R-Y, Woodbury Cold Cream. Get a jar tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, give to the National War Fund. This fund helps many great works. It combines the appeals of 17 national relief organizations and your own money go for our boys in prison camps, to feed starving children abroad, and of course for relief work in your own community. The need is greater than ever. So give when the War Chest Drive is announced in your community. Give as you never gave before. Tune in again next week at this same time for another adventure of Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Alice Frost and Joseph Curtin. For thrills and laughs, be sure to listen, won't you? This is Ben Grauer saying goodnight for Woodbury Cold Cream.
Lovely to look at, delightful to know and heaven to kiss. Da-da-da.
This program came to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.